Invest Talk. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
On radio, on YouTube, streaming live on InvestTalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers, this is InvestTalk. Independent thinking, shared success. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Portfolio Manager, Luke Guerrero.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to InvestTalk. I'm Luke Guerrero, and today's Friday, June 6th, 2025. What a week! What a different, what an exciting, what a volatile week in the markets today. For some companies, maybe a little bit more than others, but either way, all companies are affected by what happens in the world. And so our job as investors is to pay attention, to be able to decipher what is important from what is not, to be able to hopefully see the changes as they come. And so we here at InvestTalk want to help you understand market dynamics, especially how they might affect your portfolio. In order to do that, we bring you a mixture of educational items and of actionable items. We have some very important topics for you today. But most importantly, you contribute to this show through your questions, via voicemail, over there on our YouTube, on our iTunes reviews, or through your live calls. It is and will remain the most important part of the InvestTalk mission. Now, in just a bit, we will go over those show topics for today and run down the positive market performance. But let's tackle this caller question now.
Hey guys, great show. My name is Mike. I'm calling in from Orange County, California, and have a question about Berkshire Hathaway Class B. Stock is down about 10% in the last month, and wondering if this is the result of Buffett saying he was going to retire, or if it's just the holdings are down right now. Your comments would be great to hear. Thank you. Have a good day.
So Berkshire Hathaway is the company made famous by Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger. Certainly, if you've been paying attention recently, you know that Warren Buffett has now announced at the end of the year he will be stepping down from this company after a legendary run building it from really nothing into a $1 trillion business. And so the question is, well, if that's the case, what has caused this price action over the past month? Now, in spite of the past month, right, over the past 3 months, it's only down about 87 basis points. Year to date, it's actually up 8.88%. Over the past 52 weeks, about 20% gain on that front. Berkshire Hathaway has a lot of businesses, right? They have energy businesses. They have insurance businesses. They have ownership in a lot of different brands. But I think what is likely driving this price action downward that has moved it further from the high, it was around 27 times forward-looking price earnings at one point, back down to 23, which is still expensive relative to where it's been over the past 5 years. I think what's really moved it is not just the announcement that the inevitability of a 94-year-old man retiring, everybody saw that coming, but a lot of it probably has to do with yields and tariffs as well, right? So if you think there's going to be a persistent inflationary environment, you think yields are rising, which they have been, that can have a muddied effect on the insurance business. Now, what we did see in the most recent quarterly earnings that the business's revenue and growth was pretty robust, but either way, anything that happens in the bond market, anything that happens with yields, anything that happens with interest rates hurts financial companies or helps them. It has effects on them. And so I wouldn't just chalk this up to, you know, just, again, the inevitability of a 94-year-old man retiring. Certainly, there is more to it than that. Still a great company, still a little bit expensive. My key for Berkshire is always, if they're buying back shares, well, if Warren was buying back shares, you should be buying back shares. If Warren stopped buying back shares, you should not be buying Berkshire Hathaway. I trusted him to tell me when it was expensive. We'll see if that holds with new leadership. It's Berkshire Hathaway, ticker BRKB. Thanks for the call. We got a lot of ground to cover in the next 45 minutes or so. One thing we'll be talking about is not our main focus point, but a talking point we have is about questions related to inflation data. This is a question we get all the time. It is a question we get about if we can trust inflation data. And I've listened to some actually really good interviews on this. And those interviews have gone over some of the difficulties that they have measuring these things and how that's become persistently harder. So we'll touch on that. We'll also touch on what stocks do best when the dollar weakens or strengthens, because the dollar affects a lot. And should we have time at the end of the show, we'll touch on how when Wall Street starts selling things that used to be siloed to the very wealthy to retail, it's a warning sign. But our main focus point concerns this topic. Some Americans are shifting their summer plans to avoid tariff price hikes. Facing rising prices, many Americans are scaling back or changing their summer travel and leisure plans to save money and avoid financial strain. We also have voice bank questions ready to play, including one on bonds and another on IYT, which is the iShares Transportation Average ETF. And also a question that came in from the comment section of the InvestTalk YouTube, and hopefully some live calls throughout the show. So give me a call at 888-99-CHART.
Okay, got to get serious with my finances. I've been working a long time, and I know there's still got to be more that I can do to build my wealth quicker. I don't want to have to work forever.
If you are not maximizing your employer-sponsored retirement plan, KPP Financial can help. With our professional oversight, you can potentially enhance your investment performance by an average of 3% annually. At KPP Financial, we provide a comprehensive 401k management program designed to optimize your retirement savings. Our approach includes creating custom investment allocations tailored to your goals and risk tolerance. That can make a big difference in your favor.
Maybe it's time to tune up my retirement plan.
For more information on how you can take control of your retirement savings, visit our website, kppfinancial.com.
KPP Financial. Sounds good.
Have you heard about the new InvestTalk store? That's right. You'll find great merch for the savvy investor. It's all there for you now at InvestTalkStore.com. Luke Guerrero is here now, taking your finance and investment questions live. Call InvestTalk 888-99-CHART.
All right, we are back and we are running like a well-oiled machine. So let's dive into the market today. U.S. stocks finished higher in Friday trading, rounding out the week with major indices logging solid gains. The S&P up more than 20% above the April post-Liberation Day lows, now less than 2.5% off of that February record close. On the day, the Dow up 1.05%, S&P 500 up 1.03%. NASDAQ up 1.2, Russell 2000 up 1.66. Sector basis, big tech broadly stronger. Tesla getting a nice bounce after Thursday's 14%+ drop. Energy, airlines, banks, managed care, casual diners, some outperformers on the day. Not a lot of red. Not a lot of red across the market, but apparel names, home builders, building products, and dollar stores. Some of the relative underperformers. Treasury's a bit weaker, the 10-year, again, breaching that 4.5% threshold. Dollar index up 40 basis points. Gold finishing the opposite way, down 80. Crude oil settled up 1.9% on the day. And so what really drove this was some decently solid May employment numbers. Though it is important to note that May did beat consensus, the previous 2 months were revised down. Still, in spite of that, analysts saw some positivity in the latest market resilience, probably most correlated to the rise in wages. People get paid more, people can spend more. Consumer-driven economy. Also, some discussion about the potential de-escalation of the Trump-Musk feud, though the White House saying that they are not setting up a call between the two. And when it comes to trade, Trump confirmed the U.S.-China talks for Monday the 9th with Secretaries Bessent, Lutnick, and Trade Rep Greer, meeting their counterparts over across the pond in London. Digging into that macro data, May non-farm payrolls came in at 139,000, 9,000 above consensus. March and April, though, revised it downward a combined 95,000. The unemployment rate held at 4.2%, which is exactly what it was expected to hold at. But really the big bright spot, I would say, from that entire report was on average hourly earnings. Average hourly earnings rose 40 basis points month over month. Consensus, 30 basis points. Looking ahead to next week, highlights include CPI on Wednesday. Looks like PPI on Thursday. And what do we got on Friday? Inflation expectations and University of Michigan consumer sentiment. Let's keep things moving and get to a question from a viewer, Jim Leahy. He's got a question about EXR. It says, you talked about Cube recently. How do you think EXR compares to it? Let's take a look at EXR, which is Extra Space Storage. It is another one of these storage REITs, self-storage operations, as well as tenant reinsurance. Self-storage operations makes up about 89% of that business. You can see that right here. The other 11% made up by that tenant reinsurance portion. And year to date, they're outperforming the REIT industry by about 40 basis points. About 15 basis points year to date, up 91 basis points over the past 52 weeks. Overall, the upward trend remains pretty decent, pretty stable, I would say. They do pay a solid dividend, about 4.3% on a $33 billion market cap company. And in terms of debt, they really don't have that much debt. Back in December 2024, only about $12.3 billion. And net operating cash flow, solid growth, dipping a little bit into next year, but still, five-year average is 21.7% growth. Dividend payout ratio, though, stands at 150 right now, meaning the company pays out more in dividends than it earns, which may not be sustainable long-term, but it looks like they upped their dividend, or rather the dividend yield increased after a drop in price over the past couple years. So that's certainly something to be weary of. You know, if you're looking for a dividend company, the REIT space tends to be good for that. One thing that gives me hesitation here isn't the balance sheet, because the balance sheet is fine. Isn't that it's too expensive, because from price to funds from operation perspective, it's still below its five-year average. It's really that payout ratio, 150%. That means that it's very, very strained. And unless they continue to grow like they have been growing, revenue up 20% on an annualized basis, but it's slowing down. Look at this. December 24 into December 25. Very, very small growth. Net income suffering a little bit as well, though still growing. Either way, I would look for a REIT that is less strained. When you're talking about dividends, strain is the name of the game. That is Extra Space Storage, ticker EXR. Alrighty, let's play another listener question now.
Hi there. My name is Mike, and I have a question about investing in bonds right now. I have a mixed portfolio with about 30% in bonds. And my question is, how should I look at bonds right now with the sort of current interest rate and inflation environment? And what's the benefits versus cons of shifting more to equities? Thanks very much.
Yeah, so that's a good question. I think the first thing that's important to know is how old you are, right? If you're further along in your life cycle, then you do want to hold more bonds because you're preserving that capital, you need income, you're going to spend it down. Now, in terms of this current market environment, you're seeing it with government yields. You're seeing it with the 10 and 30 year yields rising. The bond market, bond vigilantes, the market is pricing in the likelihood, the potential, maybe not the likelihood after this week, but the potential for a blowout in fiscal deficits, meaning the cost of financing the debt of the United States goes up. If the benchmark rate goes up, everything else goes up. And so although we're talking about the potential for a Fed rate cut this year, you still have to understand what the long end looks like. And if the long end gets blown out, you want to stay short on the curve. Because with bonds, a bond's price is going to go down, a current bond. Price is going to go down if rates go up. Why? Because you can get new on-the-run issues at higher rates. Conversely, if rates go down, the current bond's price is going to go up because the new issued bonds have lower interest rates. Now, if we're talking over a long investment horizon, because you said, when would you want to invest in equities? It's really if you have that long investment horizon. There are periods, 1-3 year periods, where you do see bonds outperform equities. Pull back though, 5-10-15 year periods, nearly every time equities outperform. So it's a risk return thing. It's an investment horizon thing. And it's a what stage in your life you are thing. Thanks for calling. That is a great question about bonds. We're headed into a break. Still to come, my main focus point. More answers to your questions. We'll talk about the newsletter. We'll dive into some talking points. Maybe even run over, or rather run down, some key benchmark numbers. Stick with me. Give me a call at 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk. Your questions are free. The answers are unbiased. Luke Guerrero is here now. 888-99-CHART.
Alrighty, let's dive into my main focus point today, which concerns this topic. And that's how some Americans are shifting their summer plans to avoid tariff price hikes. The president's sweeping 10% blanket tariffs on imports is making summer shopping and travel a little bit more expensive for Americans. And in turn, this has led to a shift in consumer sentiment. A lot of people are delaying or diverting their vacations, not going abroad, not going where they wanted to go, opting for a cheaper option. And not just for the vacations, but for clothing and home goods as well. And so what we've seen so far is the apparel sector hit pretty hard. Guidance, downwardly revised. Most clothes, shoes, accessories are imported from Asia, right? And so tariffs would make already high prices, as we've seen them elevate over the past couple of years, even higher. One shopper saw a $170 dress jump to nearly $450 with tariffs. Another found faux flowers ballooning from $300 to $1,700, forcing some creative sourcing. Now, if you take a look at survey data, KPMG did this survey, 50% of Americans are cutting back on purchases. 49% actively hunt for deals and discounts. Now, that being said, just because costs are ballooning or may potentially balloon down the road, it doesn't mean that people aren't vacationing at all. Summer travel still remains in the budget for a lot of Americans, but everything is on the table for getting cuts, again, from the destination to how long to those other purchases as well. Now, all of this is in the shadow of courts that are weighing the legality under the reasoning, the current reasoning from the administration, of if the president even has unilateral authority to enforce these tariffs. But you also have to take a look at what might be the longer term ripple effects. If tariffs continue to hit consumer confidence, if spending continues to cool, if these apparel retail companies see lower revenues, if growth overall starts to shift lower, it can reshape buying patterns for years, which eventually has knock-on effects on the labor market. Bottom line here, this is an all-encompassing issue. It's not just about if you can fly to the beach or fly to Florida or fly to California or fly anywhere you want to go for vacation. There are larger issues at play. And so as these legal battles over tariffs continue, summer 25 is marked by consumers tightening their budgets and reshaping what fun looks like in an era of trade tensions. Now, it is Friday. As I'm sure you know, we all love our Fridays. And every Friday, we generally like to try and take some time to run down the key benchmark numbers. So let me hit you with those right now. The 2-year treasury yield was at 4.039% today, for perspective. Last week, that number was 3.9%. 45 weeks ago, that number was 3.882%. 83 weeks back, that number was 5.05%. And 181 weeks ago, that number was 64 basis points. Where did the time go? The 10-year treasury yield was at 4.506% today. Last week, it was at 4.4%. 43 weeks ago, it was 3.921%. 83 weeks back, it was 4.63%. And 177 weeks ago, it was 1.762%. Gold was priced at $3,319 per ounce, a $26 increase compared with last week. 82 weeks back, it was $1,935. And 171 weeks ago, it was $1,806. Silver, $36 per ounce today. That is a $3.02 increase compared with last week. 69 weeks ago, it was $22.80. And 163 weeks back, it was $23.94. Oil was selling for $64.73 per barrel. That's a $3.87 increase compared with last week. 37 weeks ago, that number was $67.79. 79 weeks back, it was $74.30. And 179 weeks ago, it was $66.62. The national average for a gallon of regular gasoline is $3.14 per gallon, down 2 cents from last week. 105 weeks back, it was $3.56. 153 weeks ago, it was $4.25. 173 weeks ago, it was $3.57. In California, gas was averaging $4.72 per gallon, an 8 cent decrease compared with last week. 83 weeks back, that number was $5.32. 159 weeks back, that was $5.87. For comparison, in Missouri, gas was averaging $2.83 per gallon today. That is $1.89 less than gas in California. The other thing we like to do on Fridays is briefly mention the newest KPP Premium newsletter, which will hit your inboxes tomorrow if you are a subscriber. This week in the KPP Insights section, where we typically dive into a topic of the week that affects you or affects markets, we are talking about inflation, all sorts of things related to inflation, the various inflation numbers, and how one judges inflation. In the stock ideas section, we mentioned a financial services company, as well as a managed healthcare company. And in the portfolio management section, we touched on fund flows. If you're interested in learning more, if you're interested in getting this newsletter, if you're interested in just checking out our website, visit us at investtalk.com and subscribe for the newsletter. All of our subscribers will get their newsletter in their inbox on Saturday mornings. On the next Invest Talk, we'll look into this headline: drop in international tourism hits US economy and local jobs. Tariffs, stricter immigration policies, and a strong dollar have triggered a sharp decline in tourism revenue for the US. That's Monday, but for now, I'm Lou Guerrero, and I'm ready to take your calls at 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk downloads have now surpassed 61 million. Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero provide unbiased answers to your finance and investment questions. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Okay. It's like we have our first live call of the day. Art from San Jose, how can we help you?
No matter what our day looks like, I think we can agree that we all need nourishment that fuels us, right? So let me tell you about Kachava's whole body meal shakes. I'm really liking them. And bonus surprise, the Kachava shakes come in 5 delicious flavors: chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, coconut acai. Variety is a good thing. And it's easy to incorporate Kachava's whole body meal shakes into my daily routine. I like to personalize my Kachava by adding nice touches like frozen blueberries, almond milk, creatine. For me, the idea is to mix it up while keeping my body and mind nourished all day. In fact, Kachava is a whole body meal with plant-based protein that actually tastes delicious. In those 5 indulgent flavors I mentioned, you get 25 grams of 100% plant-based protein with every 2 scoops of Kachava. You get 85 plus superfoods, nutrients, and plant-based ingredients. Kachava is non-GMO. There are no artificial flavors, colors, or sweeteners. There's no soy, no animal products, no gluten, and no preservatives. You can even try Kachava risk-free with their Love It guarantee. Fuel your day with Kachava. Go to kachava.com and use code INVEST for 15% off on their subscription for a limited time. That's Kachava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A. ava.com. Code INVEST for 15% off.
Hello, this is Art Wagner. I'd like to ask a question pertaining to preferred dividend stocks. I'm looking at something put out by Wells Fargo called WFC.PR.D. And I understand that you buy a share and it's part of a large depository set of shares, and the interest rate is yield is 6.35%. I know you don't like high interest, high yield, and I'm wondering, what is your comment on this kind of a purchase?
Yeah, so I mean, all this is don't mistake chasing yield with purchasing a yielding security, right? And so when we say don't chase yield, we mean if you're looking at the common stock market and you're seeing a company that has 11, 12% yield, it could be because the price has fallen a lot. That's not the case with preferred shares and preferred dividend shares. These are instruments that you're purchasing that don't really see much price appreciation at all, if any, that are far less liquid, whose sole purpose is to provide you with dividends and income. And so they can be good sources of income for somebody who is needing that in their portfolio. I don't have much detail on this specific preferred dividend, but generally speaking, preferred dividends, preferred shares are for income investors. Don't expect capital appreciation, expect lower liquidity as well. Sometimes you're even locked in, but don't confuse that with chasing yield. This is investing for yield, not chasing yield. Thanks for the call. Cycle two in a row. This came in earlier from 888-99-CHART.
Justin and Luke, longtime caller here from Minneapolis. I have ODFL, and that one's been in a lower range back and forth for quite some time. I'm wondering, what would you think about dumping that one and getting into, I believe it's IYT, a transportation fund that has a lot of trucking and trains in it? Would that be a good move for my future? Thank you very much for listening and answering my questions. Have a good day.
It's an interesting question. So dumping ODFL, which is Old Dominion, for IYT, which is the iShares US Transportation ETF. It's an index that invests solely in companies defined by GICS as transportation. So that means air freight and logistics, airlines, airport services, highways, rail tracks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, over the past year, it's up 3%. Over the past 5 years, it's up 9%. Year to date, it's down 2.88%. Now, just analyzing what we're seeing here, a lot of these sectors, not a big fan of right now. Airlines, never good businesses. Air freight and logistics, if consumers stop buying things, things stop shipping because of tariffs, well, those companies are going to suffer as well. Railroads can be good. Trucking can be good as well. But either way, there's a lot of broad exposure to some things that in this current environment may not do particularly well. Diving further, it's got about a 39 basis point expense ratio. Not too big of a fund either. Not a lot of people investing in this ETF. Only $678 million in AUM. And it's been around for a real long time, since the year 2003. So maybe it was converted from a mutual fund to an ETF. In terms of its dividend yield, about 1.41%. So lower yield than the benchmark. Price to book tends to be a little bit more on the value side. Price to cash flow also lower as well. Weighted average market cap, right in line with its segment benchmark. Its segment is the MSCI USA IMI Transportation, so large, small, mid-cap transportation companies. But it tends to weight on the smaller side. And that's what you see here in its market capitalization, right? Large caps, 82% of the portfolio. Mid-caps, about 14.54%. All going to be U.S. companies, and most of the revenue derived from the U.S. Without looking, my guess is, because of transportation, you're going to be pretty heavily exposed to rideshares. And Uber is 22.25% of this portfolio. 22.25%. It has 46 holdings, and this concentration in that in Union Pacific is massive. So there are no caps here. You know, I think that this is essentially a portfolio that's going to be dictated by Uber that also has a lot of things weighing it down, like those airline names, like those transportation names that, freight names that might not do well in this current market environment. So I think you should probably look elsewhere. I do love being broadly diversified, but transportation within the industrial space, kind of a rough spot to be in right now. That's ticker IYT, iShares US Transportation ETF. Now, we have from time to time gotten calls from listeners who do not believe inflation data. And my contention has always been that, well, I don't think anyone's cooking the books, but it becomes harder and harder to actually measure things accurately. One of the reasons why is because there are staffing shortages at the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and that has forced them to do less than precise estimates of the CPI inflation report. Why does this matter? Aside from just a number that gets spit out, a number that the Fed uses, inflation data affects a lot of people. It affects the Social Security adjustment. It affects tax benefits. It affects inflation-adjusted bond payments, your tips. It affects a lot. As of recently in April, the people who are supposed to check these things have had to rely more heavily on substitutes and regional guesses. 29% of April data was imputed, the highest in 5 years, from these regional estimates. Now, I listened to a podcast. I'm not going to plug any other podcasts on our podcast and radio show, but I listened to an interview with the former head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and the way they measure these things is actually fascinating. They have people that go into warehouses, and they go to bags of chips, and they check that bag of chips to see if the price has been raised from a year before, from a month before. Then they open the bag of chips. Then they count the chips, because if the bag costs the same, but there's fewer chips, that's inflation as well. It takes a wide workforce. Wide workforce. Another problem they have, that this person was talking about, a lot of data relies on business and personal consumer surveys. They have been getting fewer and fewer surveys back. A lot of people out there think there's this grand conspiracy around jobs data or what have you. You know what the reality is? The reason why things are actually revised down isn't because they want to make it sound good when it's released and then they revise it down later. It's because if you return a survey that was given to you for April and you return it in November, they still count that towards April. So that's what the revision is, late surveys. And response rates are lower now. And for any of you statistics people out there, if response rates are lower, any additional marginal response is going to affect averages by more. So economists are worried now. They're worried that because of the Trump administration's hiring freeze and layoffs from DOGE in through BLS, that an already depleted staff is smaller and going to be less accurate. They have completely paused in some cities like Lincoln and like Buffalo. Now, economists who have studied this says they don't believe this is intentional. No one's manipulating data here. It's just the reality of the situation when you have fewer responses and fewer employees to go out there in what is really highly trained work in order to find answers and find the data. And so this could complicate the path of interest rates. The Fed is incredibly data dependent. If the Fed wants to see what inflation looks like, and what inflation looks like is going to affect the path of rates, if we get a muddy picture, what if they make the wrong move? What could that mean for the next decade? As I mentioned, inaccurate inflation can misprice $2 trillion of inflation-protected bonds. And those are bonds that a lot of seniors have in their portfolios because when you're retired, you're worried about maintaining your consumption levels. Historical reliability of U.S. data is at stake. And it could have wide-ranging effects. Economists and market watchers are now very alert in the distortion and volatility of this data. And hopefully, this problem, this potential disaster, can be resolved before poor decisions are made on incorrect data. All right, let's keep things moving and get a fresh caller question now.
Hello, Justin and Luke. This is Jim from Miami Beach, Florida. I'm calling you guys today about Nebulo Pharmaceuticals, ticker ANEB. This company, I believe they only make one drug. They're in the process of it now, and it is to treat acute cannabis toxicity. That's when like a kid gets into their parents' gummies or somebody has too much cannabis. This medication will work like Narcan and will block the THC receptors and take away the person's symptoms and make them not high anymore within an hour. It seems like this drug should be a total winner out there, and like it can't lose unless it just doesn't work somehow. So I was looking to see if you guys could provide some more insight about this company and this medication. There's not much coverage out there. There's very little information out there. And anything you could share would be greatly appreciated. I know they're getting help from the FDA and stuff to move this along because there's nothing out there that provides this relief for people. Y'all have a great one.
Well, that is interesting. I have not heard of this company and Anabulo. Anabulo, we'll go with that. I'm probably wrong. Pharmaceuticals, ticker ANEB, trades at about $1 a share, had a rough time since its IPO, when it IPO'd at about $9 back in 2021. And this market cap is not in millions, it's in thousands, which means it's a $41 or $46 million market cap company. Very little debt, does issue a bunch of shares. Shares outstanding up from 25 million back in 2022, sitting at about 41 million. Now, obviously, it doesn't pay a dividend because it is a biotech company that, like the caller said, only has one drug in development, and it is to help with accidental, let's call it cannabis poisoning, unintentional cannabis use. I don't know what to call it, but either way, you didn't mean to take cannabis. You are very high now. Maybe even you're sick. And this drug is supposed to help you feel better relatively quickly. An hour is really not that long. Now, because it's in the development stage, this company doesn't have any revenue, doesn't have any profits because you can't have revenue without, or rather you can't have profits without revenue. And so it's kind of just sitting here waiting to see if the drug is successful. Now, there has been some promising movement, it looks like, from what I can see, in terms of the production, or rather the trials of this drug. But I mean, this company only has about $13 million in cash left. They have $3 million loan facility as well. It's a clinical development stage company. It's $46 million market cap. This thing is risky. It's about as risky can be. It's down 35% year to date. I don't know. If you want to toss a penny in there and hope it turns into something, maybe. But this is more of a gamble than an investment. I hope the product works. Sounds like it could have a lot of use out there in the market. That is Anabulo, maybe, Pharmaceuticals, Inc., ticker ANEB. It is Friday. We are almost to the weekend. But before we head to this break, we have time to play one more question.
This is Rohan from San Francisco. I had a quick question about Nike, NKE. I've been looking at this stock for quite some time. It's been on my watch list, and it's come to a point where I'm looking to buy to start a position. I'm looking for a long-term, 3 to 5 years play. So I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that stock and what are the good entry points, in your opinion. Thank you. Have a good day. Bye.
The ticker is NKE. The company is Nike. Nike is one of the most well-known clothing and sports apparel brands in the world. Great IP, I would say. It's a $93 billion market cap company. It's got quite it does not have much debt at all. Only about $11.9 billion in debt. So they got plenty of room there. They've been buying back shares. They pay a 2.55% dividend yield. Their cash flow is headed in the right direction. Let's take a look at their profitability. Their profitability has been falling, already slim margins. Apparel companies tend to have better margins than, let's say, retail companies, but they're still not that high. 11, 12%, about 10.5% to 11% over the past 5 years is what the average is. Well, coming into this year, projected to go down to 6.9%. Projected to go down the next year to 6.1%. Revenue, nearly flat from 2023 to 2024. Falling into 2025, falling even more into 2026. And so one issue that I have with Nike is that over the past couple years, right, its revenue is primarily 68% from footwear, 20-30% probably, 65% from footwear, 27% from apparel. There's a lot of competition out there. There's a lot of new brands out there. You have the growth of athleisure in the world. And so it's lost some market share to some of its competitors. It's Lululemon. It's off-brand Instagram things you see that followed in Lululemon's footsteps. But one problem is just production. Not only are you seeing revenue fall, but revenue falling with margins lower is because costs are going up. What drives costs higher? higher production. Why is production and importation higher? Tariffs. So this is a company that thematically just does not work right now. From a technical perspective, it's been on a downward trend since September. Really had a big drop off leading into tariffs. Liberation Day had a rough day as well. Really through the end of March, it wasn't doing great. It started to trickle upward again, but either way, the problems that it faces, I just don't see as resolved right now. And so I would just see this thing trade for a little bit longer. We got earnings coming up in just about 20 days. They revised their guidance downward the last time they spoke. Let's see what they do this time. That's Nike, ticker NKE. This is Invest Talk. I'm Luke Greer. We have one goal here to help you achieve your financial freedom. Our work continues after this break. But before we go, don't forget to cruise over to the new Invest Talk store. It's open now at investtalkstore.com.
Every investor is working to build a secure financial future. The more you learn about how the market works, the better your chances for success. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Just curious your take on another ask regarding uranium, specifically the URA ETF. Wondering if just, you know, secular tailwinds are making it a good buy at this time. Green energy and that kind of push, or what your long-term outlook is there. Appreciate all the help and advice over the years, but yeah, looking forward to the answer on the show. Thanks. Bye.
Ticker URA, the Global X Uranium ETF. It offers exposure to a broad range of companies involved in global uranium, including the production of nuclear components that are a pure play or have large absolute revenues in the uranium industry. So not companies that have maybe 10% exposure to uranium, but nearly pure play or pure play businesses only. It reconstitutes semi-annually, so once every 6 months. It's been doing real well year to date, up 23.86%, up 44.72% over the past quarter. But it's probably going to be concentrated. Cameco, CCJ, 22.52% of the business. The next two highest holdings are US dollars and equity other. I don't know what this equity security is. Maybe it's some sort of futures in order to get some equity exposure. But either way, in order to hold 49 names and have over one-fifth of your holdings be in one name, you're paying 69 basis points. Again, I love the idea of broad diversity here, but if your goal is to hit some pure play uranium names and the uranium index, that is the pure play index, is nearly a quarter in one name, maybe the best way to hit it is just diversity from the main name and a couple other names. Save yourself 69 basis points. If you're trying to get exposure to uranium, I love the theme. Demand is going to be there as AI expenses and CapEx continues to be. But I don't know, 69 bips to hold a handful of names and have most of it concentrated in one? Not right for me. Thanks for the call. A historic slide in the dollar over the past 5 months. The US dollar has dropped in value because of trade turmoil. And so the question is, what the heck should we do? And so a team over at the Wall Street Journal took a look, analyzed 40 years of monthly data, and asked, what happens if the dollar goes up? What happens if the dollar goes down? Well, here's what they found. Dollar weakens, international stocks do well. International stocks gain an average of 2.57% monthly, a 2.41% boost over when the dollar rises. U.S. large caps also do well, 1.65% on average when the dollar weakens versus 1.09% when it strengthens. Bonds join the party. Average bond funds return 0.71% when the dollar weakens compared to just 0.24% when the dollar strengthens. Small caps for dollar strength? If you expect the dollar to rebound, expect it to strengthen, small caps are your bet. 1.16% in months when the dollar appreciates. What about commodities? Well, they lag when the dollar gains. So what's the point here? Well, similar to the story we brought you yesterday, understanding how all of the complex things that are wrapped up in the market, all of these complex inputs, all of these complex products affect each other, help you construct and maintain your portfolio. From what I saw from this, the dollar down, historically, not necessarily in the future, but historically international stocks, you should add those to your portfolio. Dollar up, US stocks and small caps tend to do better. Currency moves have pretty powerful ripple effects across the board. And so because you can't predict them, diversifying beyond just US-based assets when the dollar is weakening helps improve your overall returns when considering that you're lowering your overall risk. Risk-adjusted returns. That is the absolute name of the game. We did it. We made it. It's Friday. It is time for the weekend. I'm Luke Guerrero, and Justin and I thank you for staying for yet another InvestTalk program, because this one is over. We encourage you to tell your friends and family members about our free podcast downloads. You can check them out over at iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. Don't forget to subscribe. It makes it really easy. They just hit you. They just download straight to your phone. You can listen to it when you're on a plane. You can listen to it in the dead spots on your drive. No interruption at all whatsoever. And it helps us out a little bit. And if you want to watch it on video, you want to watch our Broken Apart podcast with just the questions, with just the focus point, head over to our YouTube. Go to Invest Talk with two T's. Today's show made you think about your own financial picture, investments, taxes, retirements. Whether it's all really working, come get a checkup, just like a doctor's office. Don't go when you're already dying. Go when you just need to be checked up annually. Find the problem early. If you're interested, it is no cost. It is no obligation. Head over to investtalk.com and hit portfolio review. Independent thinking, shared success. This is InvestTalk. Enjoy your weekend.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.